It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Mikhail Zeger left Russia just 3 days after its president, Vladimir Putin, invaded Ukraine.
Once you realize that your country has become fascist, you need to do something about it. You need to protest, you need to try to change it, but you cannot obey those fascist laws. You cannot be the obedient citizen of a fascist regime. Obviously, I didn't want my daughter to go on living in a fascist country, and I knew that I want to take her out.
Mikhail has spent the last 16 months reporting from Berlin, and that's where he was when his friends inside Russia began to text about tanks on the ground.
The rebellion itself was quite a surprise because we did not expect him to be that emotional and unprepared.
The him Mikhail is referring to is Yevgeny Prigozhin.
Last fall was the first time when I started hearing from my sources that the puppet has become alive, that the person who has always been considered to be not even Putin's right-hand man, but Putin's chef, Putin's servant, somebody who is very dependent on his master, unexpectedly he has become an independent political figure.
Prigozhin is, or at least he was, the leader of the Wagner Group, a mercenary army of at least 25,000 people fighting on behalf of Russian President Vladimir Putin. As a paramilitary force, Wagner took care of Putin's dirty work abroad. Its special operations attracted international attention, and the group became a target for U.S. sanctions. For a long time, Prigozhin denied any involvement with the group. But this year, he changed his tune.
It was obvious that he was not so close to President Putin since February, March. He was very politically active. He was touring as if there was an electoral campaign right now in Russia. He was trying to get the attention. He was trying to get more money. And it was obvious that something was going to happen. It had to happen.
That something turned out to be a coup. Sort of.
Yes, that was very surprising. Not so surprising as the outcome of his coup. That's something that freaked out most of experts, and even my sources are really surprised by the end of the story. You know, I think that since that Saturday, there is another country. I think that there is Russia after Putin that started while he's still alive.
Today on the show, how an attempted coup that lasted less than 2 days may have irreparably altered the presidency of Vladimir Putin. I'm Mary C. Curtis, in for Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next? Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now that he's in the headlines, everyone knows him, but why don't you briefly remind folks, who is Yevgeny Prigozhin?
He's a person with a criminal background, as many people affiliated with Putin's inner circle. Putin and him, they first met back in the 90s when Putin worked as vice mayor of St. Petersburg. And St. Petersburg is one of the most important Russian ports, and most of import that time came through the port of St. Petersburg. So you can imagine how important vice mayor Putin was for all Russian criminal groups. And Prigozhin started as a very low-level businessman. First, he was selling, literally, he was selling hot dogs. Then he started his catering business. He had several restaurants. But he was very quick to learn the new skills. And he volunteered to start the private military company. And he was in charge of dealing with some delicate issues.
Prigozhin went from being known as Putin's chef to being known as Putin's butcher. Those delicate issues? We're talking about secretive operations in Africa, in Syria, and eventually Ukraine. Prigozhin made international headlines for offering desperate prisoners a chance at freedom if they could survive the front lines. But even as he accumulated power, he didn't want anyone to know about it.
Yevgeny Prigozhin used to sue any journalist who called him the owner of Wagner Group. He rejected all those claims. He refused to admit that he had something to do to Wagner Group when Wagner mercenaries were fighting in Syria, in Africa. Everyone was writing about his adventures in Ukraine, but he was still suing journalists for calling him the owner of Wagner Group. And that all changed last summer with lack of Russian volunteers willing to fight against Ukraine. Prigozhin, he offered Vladimir Putin to recruit prisoners. That was his idea, as he had served 8 years in prison back when he was young. So that was his idea, to recruit prisoners to serve as soldiers in Russian army. President Putin said yes. And last year, in July and August, Prigozhin started touring around Russian prisons, recruiting prisoners to fight.
Расход боеприпасов у меня приблизительно в 2.5 раза больше, чем в Сталинграде.
That was the beginning of his fame and popularity.
Well, now that Prigozhin has been elevated, how popular is he in Russia? Does he have a power base? What was his pitch to the Russian people, and did they buy it?
No, it's hard to estimate, actually, because yes, we don't have any proper sociology. We don't have any surveys, so we can only guess. But at the same time, we see that he represents a very important trend. He represents that ultra-fascist, that radical patriot in Russian politics. He's more radical than Putin in every field. He's more anti-Western. He's more pro-conservative values. He's more aggressive and brutal. He is the hero for those who consider Putin not strong enough, who want Russia to win this war, who want Ukraine to be conquered within 3 days, as Putin had promised them. And now they regret that Russian army is not winning. They have to blame someone, and they are blaming the army and President Putin himself. So Prigozhin for them is the symbol of a stronger leader, So if Prigozhin was the president, or if Prigozhin was commander-in-chief, they say Russia would have won the war.
How do you think this attempted coup has affected his standing and his popularity there? Do we even know?
You know, it's hard to guess. Russia doesn't have any proper political system. There were no open elections for many years. No one was trying to be a politician, to run for any office, to campaign. So Prigozhin is something very new. Yes, Prigozhin's uprising might have done him much more popular, but the ending was very confusing. The ending, I think, should be considered a betrayal by those radicals who wanted to see him as the strongest leader. His core base, I think, is frustrated that he let them down. They wanted him to go to Moscow and to take Moscow.
Here's what happened. Late Friday night, Prigozhin released a string of audio recordings. In them, he called Russia's military leadership evil and said that those who destroyed tens of thousands of lives of Russian soldiers will be punished. Early Saturday morning, videos on social media showed tanks rolling across the streets of Rostov-on-Don, a city and military headquarters in the south. Hours later, Prigozhin said he'd taken control. By 10 a.m., Vladimir Putin delivered a televised address to the nation.
What we are facing now is treason.
And vowing to crush all Wagner fighters. By then, Prigozhin's troops were on the move. Convoys rolled north toward Moscow. Giant orange roadblocks sprang up outside the capital city. And then, suddenly, Saturday afternoon, about 124 miles outside of Moscow, they stopped. Why Prigozhin stood down is still a mystery. Russian press secretary Dmitry Peskov says President Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus managed to broker a deal, one where Prigozhin gets to flee to Belarus and his troops all get general amnesty. But Mikhail is skeptical.
We know nothing about the deal. We know only that explanation that was offered by Putin's press secretary Dmitry Peskov. And it's very funny that a couple of months ago, Peskov himself boasted that his son served as a mercenary in Wagner Group. So even Peskov is in a way connected to Prigozhin, but that time, a couple of months ago, that was very prestigious, and Prigozhin was considered to be the biggest ally of President Putin. Now everything has changed. Was the President Lukashenko, the President of Belarus, the mediator of the negotiations? Actually, there are a lot of doubts. Yes, we definitely know that Prigozhin he has left, and most of Wagner Group fighters have left Rostov as well. We don't know the whereabouts of Prigozhin. Peskov said that he would live in Belarus. I'm more than sure that that's not true, because Belarus is the least safest place for him. Probably the most dangerous. If he goes there, he would be killed by Russian FSB within a couple of hours. My sources say that probably the safest place for Prigozhin, if he had to flee, would be Africa, where his Wagner Group is still strong and has a lot of bases. And we don't know if there is a real defeat, or he's getting ready for the new step.
We know that Prigozhin had a pretty substantial force under his command, 25,000 people.
At least.
Was that ever going to be a substantial threat to Putin? And now what happens? Do they go back to fighting Ukraine? Will people be able to trust them? What happens to them?
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question, because one of the reasons for the rebellion, there is a new law that obliged all the members of any kind of private military company to have an official contract with the Ministry of Defense. And that's why Prigozhin was so mad at Vladimir Putin and Ministry of Defense, because he could not officially pledge to have any ties with the army if nothing happens. Prigozhin's people, all the fighters of Wagner Group, would have to sign contracts with the army by 1st of July. That's the deadline mentioned in the new law. So Wagner Group has to be eliminated, and all its active members has to become the new ordinary soldiers in Russian army. And that might be the end of the story, or at least one of the scenarios. But that would mean the defeat of Prigozhin. When he had the negotiations on Saturday, he was trying to find some other conditions for his retreat, and maybe he will find a way to save Wagner Group from being disbanded.
Whether Wagner soldiers are fighting in Ukraine or no, some experts have claimed the attempted coup may be good for Ukraine, that Ukraine's forces should strike while Putin's distracted and his circle is in disarray. Mikhail isn't convinced.
Knowing Putin's strategy, the only thing he can do is to distract the attention. So that's a bad news for Ukraine, but definitely he will need to distract the global attention from his humiliation. So I think that he will escalate. And I'm afraid that some new disaster could be awaiting.
Well, how about Prigozhin's future? Does he have one?
I think the situation is changing so swiftly that probably if he hides in Africa for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, probably the situation would change so dramatically that he would be able to return back. Putin is not that strong as he used to be. He's losing his power. He is weakened. There is a possibility that Prigozhin would have the second chance. And that's a very scary scenario, I must say, because Prigozhin is a very scary figure in Russian politics.
After the break, what's next for Russians and for Russia's president?
The future of America is in your hands.
This is not a movie trailer, and it's not a political ad, but it is a call to action. I'm Mila Atmos, and I'm passionate about unlocking the power of everyday citizens. On our podcast, Future Hindsight, we take big ideas about civic life and democracy and turn them into action items for you and me. Every Thursday, we talk to bold activists and civic innovators to help you understand your power and your power to change the status quo. Find us at futurehindsight.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
How are Russians making sense of the events of this weekend? Are they still loyal to Putin?
We don't know anything about if Russians are loyal to Putin. We have very strong suspicion that most Russians are not loyal to Putin and do not support this war. For many months, there were no volunteers willing to go to that war. That's why Prigozhin had to recruit people from prisons. Ordinary people didn't support it. They didn't want to go and fight. They did not believe in this war. Everything we see is that the Russian society is very depressed. They had very clear vision of their prosperous future, and they lost it. And so, yes, probably there are people who buy that picture drawn by Russian propaganda that there is a war against the West, and NATO was going to attack Russia, and that's why Putin had to fight against Ukraine, but most people do not believe. And obviously, most people were really terrified that day, June 24th, when Wagner Group was marching towards Moscow. There was the new record of airplane tickets set in Russia because people were trying to flee. By noon, there were no tickets to Istanbul, Tbilisi, Yerevan, or any other closed destination, or they were like 10 times as expensive.
I wonder, in the short term, this is arguably a big win for Putin. He shut down the most substantial challenge to his authority in years with no actual fighting, but he also failed to arrest Prigozhin. And at least in promises, he gave all of Prigozhin's troops amnesty as well. Does this mean he's losing power or at least being seen as weak?
You know, he has made two terrible mistakes, and these mistakes are only his own mistakes. He has no one to blame for it. The first mistake was the invasion of Ukraine, and he had the information. He had a lot of information, and he should never started it because it was total miscalculation. And everyone blames him for even those people who support the war, even Prigozhin, who is the most ardent fighter. But even Prigozhin says that actually to start that war was a mistake because it was a miscalculation. And the second biggest mistake was his decision to bet on Prigozhin. Prigozhin's rebellion is his own disgrace, is Putin's disgrace. That Saturday, Putin made a special urgent address to the nation, and that was the first time ever when he quickly reacted to some emergency. He realized that he's losing the initiative, that he's not in control, and everyone blames him, and he's not longer that moral authority as he used to be, so he's panicking.
Other authoritarian leaders have used coup attempts as an excuse to crack down. Do you worry that that's about to happen in Russia?
You know, actually, on the one hand, I think that the worst has already happened. And the beginning of the war against Ukraine was the worst scenario. At the same time, could it be worse? Yes, definitely. It could be so much worse. The day of Prigozhin's coup, the status of counter-terroristic operation was implemented in Russia. And so according to the law about counter-terrorism, when there is a counter-terrorist operation conducted in country, actually no human rights are relevant. So every phone conversation could be listened to. Authorities can block internet for any period of time. So we must expect that first they are going to block internet and they are preparing for it. And the coup could be used as a pretext for that. I'm afraid that all of my friends, all of people I know, all the independent journalists or independently minded people who remain in Russia are now in danger, although they have nothing to do to that coup, but they could be used as scapegoats and they could be blamed for anything now.
So Putin appears to have survived this challenge, but how could it change the power dynamics in Russia going forward, do you think, Mikhail?
Most important personalities from his inner circle are now thinking about what's going to happen next after his departure, after his death. So they are already preparing themselves for Russia after Putin. They are already making alliances for the future power struggle. It reminds me a lot of early 1958, weeks after Stalin's death, when all those mediocre bureaucrats who were absolutely faceless and absolutely silent started being very passionate and very active the moment he died. So I guess the people from Putin's inner circle are preparing themselves for a fresh start. They know that there is going to be the right time to fight for the whole Russia. They know that the time has come.
I want to thank you, Mikhail, for being a guest on What Next?
Thank you.
Mikhail Zeger is a Russian journalist and the author of the upcoming book, War and Punishment, Putin, Zelensky, and the Path to Russia's Invasion of Ukraine. That's the show. If you're a fan of What Next, the best way to support our work is to join Slate Plus. Go to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. What Next is produced by Elena Schwartz, Rob Gunther, Anna Phillips, Paige Osborne, and Madeline Ducharme. We're led by Alicia Montgomery, with a little help from Susan Matthews. Ben Richman is the Senior Director of Podcast Operations here at Slate. And I'm Mary C. Curtis. Find me on Twitter. I'm at mcurtisnc3. Thanks for listening. Mary Harris will be back tomorrow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.